Lord, you are so good to us. You are so kind. We thank you for your grace and your mercy upon our lives, Father. The fact that we can be here today, Father, standing and representing you is an honor. It's a privilege, and we are so grateful. There's so many other places that, God, we could be, but you have called us to be here at this time. So we honor your name. We glorify your name. Many people in this world are lost and bound and have no hope. But we have a hope in you, and we're excited about where you're taking us, Father. So we thank you for tonight, all that's taking place already tonight. We pray a blessing. May your name be glorified as we spend a few minutes gathered around your word right now. God, show us who you are in our lives as we encourage each other, as we build each other up, as we honor you as Lord and Savior. We give you all the praise and all the glory. And we all together said, amen. Bless you all. Can take your seats. I'm going to spend just a few minutes just sharing and encouraging you all. Again, Pastor Kevin said something quite interesting about, you know, who wants to be challenged today. And I always want to be challenged. If you get to the place where you're just comfortable, if you get to the place where you're just rolling by and just floating, then you start to lose the power and the authority God's given you. So we always have to be challenged. We always need to be wanting to go higher. And that's when so many times we get around the word of God and we get the word unpacked in our lives. Amen? Amen. So we're in outreach month, is that right? Amen, we're in outreach month. So again, it's always a pleasure to be stood here. Again, thank you for my pastors and my leaders, Pastor Paul and Sister Vicky and Pastor Kevin, again, for entrusting me with the word and to stand before you great people. It's a real privilege and it's a real honor, and I never take it lightly. Amen. And most of all, it's important to thank the Lord my God for my salvation. Again, I don't know where I would be without the Lord's love, without his peace upon my life, without him saving me and taking me out of darkness and bringing me in to his marvelous light. So I'm grateful, I honor, I give thanks to God every day for saving me. Amen. And I pray that every day you thank the Lord for saving you as well. Amen. 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 So we're going to go quickly into outreach and sharing about the importance of evangelism. And today we're going to spend a few minutes talking about sharing the good news. Simply sharing the good news. So can we turn our Bibles very quickly to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. We're going to run through some points and see what God is saying to us in these scriptures. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak Christ when we plead, come back to God. So we are Christ's ambassadors, God making his appeal through us. We speak Christ when we plead, come back to God. What does evangelism mean to us? What does it mean to be an evangelist? What does the Bible say about evangelism? Again, if you can look at 2 Timothy 2, 4, verse 5. Very quickly again, 2 Timothy 4, verse 5, sorry. And this is Paul talking to Timothy about the work of the evangelist. Do the work of the evangelist. Share the good news. You don't have to have the title. Many of us get to the point in our lives where we think we have to have the title Evangelist Colin to share the good news. We are all evangelists. The Apostle Paul said to Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. Timothy was at a place in his life where he was quite happy to lead and share in his church. And that's it. We all have a place in our church and an important part to play in our church. But you know what? We can get to the place sometimes where we are hung up on our actual roles in our church, that we forget that we are all evangelists. We are all here to share the good news. Paul was very clear to Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. Again, when we hear the word evangelist, we assume it's somebody who is called to go out and to preach just to the masses of people. But every day in our lives, we ought to have the evangelist spirit inside of us that says, do you know what? What is the opportunity that God has given us today to share this good news? Because we've all been given gifts and opportunities to do different things in our church. We're in Victory Outreach right here now, and there's so many opportunities that we have and different roles and different things that we can play a part in. But the key thing we have to remember in all that we do for God is, are we sharing the good news? Are we being a light in our community? Amen? We're talking about sharing the good news. If you see how important the good news that we have inside of us is, I was watching the news today and I think to myself, do you know what? There seems to be never any good news. Anybody know that the budget was on today? George Osborne was giving the budget. We kind of sit there thinking, right, oh, petrol's going to be a pound. Fantastic. It wasn't. All the things that you think are going to be cheaper, tax credit's going to go higher, brilliant. No, it didn't. I think he put something like, I don't know, 10p, I don't know all the politics, but you start there thinking, oh, the good news is about to happen. And it doesn't. But the news is always something that they think is good news, and we sit there waiting for it, and it doesn't happen. But what do you have inside of you that will change somebody else's life? What is the good news that God has said? Go and share this good news and spread it abroad. Everywhere you go, share the good news of Christ. This is good news. This is the good news that will set somebody free, change their lives forever. They will never be the same again. We have the power, the love of God inside of us that will change somebody else's life. There's people, I walked through town today and I was in between buses and doing things, and I always like to spend time looking at people's faces, looking at what they're thinking almost. Are they happy in themselves? Are they happy? Do they know why they actually exist on the earth? There are many times we see people in our workplaces, schools, colleges, and because we have the good news inside of us and we know why we were created to serve God, how many times do we think to ourselves, I wonder if they know why they were created? I wonder if they know why they exist? Many times in our lives, we see people, and even on the news today, I think it was a family and the guy was something on something like £50,000 a year, and his wife was on something similar, and they were still like, oh, I wish they'd slashed the pound or done something better for us. But they're always looking for something else, but they're not happy within. You saw this perfect family, it was two, you know, a man and a woman and a little boy bouncing on a trampoline. Oh, it looked great, it looked happy. But there's so much more to life. How do we share this good news with people who think they have everything? Who get to a place where they're comfortable? Who get to a place where they're thinking, well, I don't need God in my life. I don't need to know that Jesus died for my sins because I'm quite happy. There's £100,000 coming into my account. I've got a car and a drive and a kid in private school. What matters? What more matters? But how do we share the good news with people like that? It's burning inside of us. We want to be out there sharing the good news everywhere we go. Amen? It's key to our growth in the kingdom. How does the kingdom of God grow if we do not go out there and share this good news? Timothy's primary aim was not evangelism, but Paul challenged him to do the work of an evangelist. I challenge us here tonight, are we doing the work of an evangelist? Are we suffering hardship for the sake of the gospel being preached? That's what Paul was saying. Paul suffered for the sake of the gospel. Paul was imprisoned for the sake of the gospel. Are we getting to the point in our lives where we're saying, Lord, you've woken me up this morning. I have another day to live for you. Show me who I can share the word with today. Show me who I can share this good news with today. Are we suffering for the sake of the gospel? Are we getting to a place in our lives where we're like, Lord, I've got to get out there. I've got to share this good news because you're coming back for so many people, but hell was not created for these people. Hell was not created for these people that we see every day on our buses, in our schools, colleges, walking from town to town, from place to place. We have a good news inside of us that will change their lives forever. God shows me many times, do you realize how free we are in this country to share the good news? Do you know how easy it is to go on the street, to go out now on the main road and walk into town and say, Jesus loves you at the top of your voice? They might look at you strange. They might think, oh, crazy guy, crazy woman, what they're doing? But do you know what? No one's going to arrest you. No one's going to lock you up. But how long do we have before the authorities start saying, oh, no, it's not right. No, it's not allowed. Because guess what? The time is coming. We don't want to get to a place where we're thinking, oh, it's always going to be free. It's always going to be easy. There's many countries around the world that cannot do that. The devil is out there roaring like a lion, seeking who he may devour. He's out to stop the plan of God. But while we have the opportunity to share it freely, are we going out and expressing this good news? Are we sharing this good news? We've all got a plan. We've all got a plan in our lives that God has started in us. We're all on the mission field for God. We're all doing different works for the Lord, and that's great. That's exciting. That's a pleasure. That's an honor to do that. But more importantly, are we sharing the good news? Are we establishing the kingdom of God on the earth? What does God look down and see when he sees his people? Is the word being expressed? Is the word being spread far afield? Are people coming to know God? We hear our pastors talking about the harvest. 3,000 people coming into Victory Outreach. Do you believe that? Amen? But guess what? We've got to go out and tell them. On Sunday, they're not going to get to the door and there's 1,000 people trying to get in. We'd love it. It'd be great. But guess what? We need to go out there and tell them. Amen? That's what it means to share the good news. Always look in season and out of season. Be ready to share this good news. People are lost. They're broken. They're bound. We are Victory Outreach. Amen? We believe what Isaiah 45 verse 3 says. There's treasures out there that are in darkness. Until we tell them, they need to be brought in to the light. Amen? There's treasures out of darkness. There's many treasures out of darkness right here. We are all treasures out of darkness. But we have to get to a place where we go out there and understand that those treasures are lost. They've got rough edges. They need to be smoothed and brought into the fold, brought into the lightness of God. But we've got to go out there and spread this good news. I'm privileged because I'm in a blessed position at the moment because you know what? I go to work every day. And I go to work for an organization called Make Jesus Known. Many of you know that. Make Jesus Known. So I get up in the morning, I pray, I get excited. I'm going to the office of Make Jesus Known. Do you know what? So I'm in a place where I'm thinking, Lord, you've really got me to understand that. Wait a minute. We are all here to make Jesus known. But then I'm in a church that's called Victory Outreach. So straight away, I can't get away from the importance of spreading this good news. Because our whole ethos and what we stand on is going out and getting those treasures out of darkness. So everywhere I go, I'm encouraged. I'm excited. I go to work and my colleagues are like, right, what are we doing today? We're in schools today. We're sharing the good news. I hear the testimonies of people getting healed in schools. People getting saved in schools. People are getting saved in schools right here in Manchester. Amen? The word is being preached. Like I said earlier, how long will it be before those doors become closed? We need to go now. We need to go now. I'm encouraged when the guys come back and they're like, Colin, we're in schools. And 10 people gave their hearts to the Lord. People were saved. I've got testimony upon testimony up to the week before last of arches growing in people's feet. Girls crying. Tears crying. They're like, I'm not sure there's a God, but I've got a broken finger and I've got a sore back. They're getting healed. They're getting set free. And they're turning to God because, wait a minute, there must be a God. There must be a God. People are getting saved and set free for the glory of God. Can somebody say amen? So please, I encourage you today, be challenged in your faith. Grow in your faith. God wants to use each and every one of us to make a difference in our communities. And our neighborhoods, everywhere we go. Always remember, we are doing the work of the evangelists. It's not for the evangelists. It's not for Hayford Obeng to arrive next week. Right, it's time to evangelize. Okay, are you ready? Wait a minute. When he comes, evangelizes, and goes, do we stop? Because he's an evangelist traveling around the world doing what he does for the glory of God. It means that we do it every day. We are evangelizing every single day, telling somebody else that Jesus loves them. We get excited when he's here, of course. And we get encouraged and we see the power of God move. That's amazing. But we don't stop. We keep doing the work of an evangelist. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 4 again, verse 1 to 5. I just want to read that very quickly as well. Got a few minutes. Second Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 to 5. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge for the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wandering off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded. Endure suffering for the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Amen. And I encourage you to really go home and look into the depth of that, what it actually means, how we all fit into those scriptures. Nobody is exempt. If you are called by God, if you're a child of God, if you come into the kingdom of God, this is for you and for me. We are to do the work of evangelists. I was excited again, just traveling back from India. Last Friday, came back. And again, what a privilege. What an honor. I'm so excited that it was actually, I came back and we're in outreach month, so it's still fresh in my mind. But coming back from India, even before I went, I'm still pinching myself actually that I actually went to India. What is Colin doing in India? America, Jamaica, you know, Tel Aviv, da 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 da. But India, and it's not like it was Delhi or Goa and all the places that people go to. It was remote. It was out there. It was just like, where am I going? I'm driving on these roads. I'm like, Lord, I pray that you're with us because I haven't got a clue where this driver is taking us. The road has disappeared in front of me. I'm waiting for snakes and all sorts of lizards to jump out the river and the lakes because I'm like, Lord, please be with me. It was life-changing. But do you know what? God was with us all the way. And we went into these villages and we met people that, again, we had a pastor out there who heard about Make Jesus Known. Apparently, over 2 years ago, he's been trying to get in touch with us and get us out there. And again, it's a blessing that even before I started for Make Jesus Known, it's happened at a time where I was actually at Make Jesus Known. So I had the privilege of going. So to go out to this country that, again, they base their religion on gods. Yeah, it's not like it's a Muslim nation where they say, right, Allah is God and that's who we worship, end of story. This is built up of many gods. So you've got a situation where, from what we heard statistically, is that there's 300 million gods in India. How do you get to the point where there's 300 million gods? People have got to the point in their lives where they say, well, oh, we need to worship something. Right, we'll worship, we worship this lectern. That'll do. We'll worship this speaker or this flower. The cow and stuff like that is the obvious one that they worship. But they worship anything. They're at a place where they're thinking, well, this is what we do. Let's worship them. So Tim and I, my colleague, we were out there sharing the good news. And we were like out there preaching and we're out there. And we got to the point where we're thinking, wait a minute. The salvation cause has gone out to these people. And they're all putting their hands up to know Jesus. I'm like, wow, praise God, amen, amen. But then we realize, wait a minute, that's good. But you know what? They're more putting their hand up to say, Jesus, I love you, but not accept him into their hearts. To be born again, they didn't quite understand what it means to be born again. To have a relationship with God, that was the difference. Because Jesus is a God amongst many gods in India. He's just another God. We read in the paper as we were traveling somewhere, and I saw these people that were doing some meditation and stuff like that, and I saw all these gods and all these cows and weird-looking people, and then I saw Jesus there as well. And I'm like, one minute. Psychologically, I was just like, what's Jesus doing amongst that? What's going on? But for them, Jesus is just another God. We just worship him like the rest. But how do we get to the point where we're saying, you know what? God is a God all by himself. There's no one above him. There's no one beneath him. He is a very jealous God. So we had to get to a place for the 9-10 days that we're there to say to these people, do you know what? God is all by himself. There's no other God. Get rid of all the other gods. God is not an idol as you have placed on the other gods. He's the only true and living God that will change your life forever. And he wants to come into your heart and into your life. So we grew in the time that we were out there. It was a great honor. It was a great privilege to go out to another country and to see the power of God move. See people's lives changed for the glory of God. See people healed and set free for the glory of God. We traveled a long way to get there to see it, but it was good. It's an eye-opener. But we just praise God for what he's doing. Amen? I mean, at some point we'll show you some pictures, but we'll do that another time. But I just want to say, understand that you're in a place and a time and in a season where we can go out and share this good news freely. Take every opportunity to share this good news. When Jesus comes back, he's not coming back for those people who had degrees and all these things that we strive for, which is great. But he wants to know, how did we grow the kingdom of God? How do we share that he came and he died for our sins? How do we show that he's coming back again for all those who have accepted him? We're in a crucial time. The news, the TV cannot offer us anything. They try to tell us good news and think we're all going to say, oh, get happy and all get cheerful. No. We are children. We are followers of God. We know why we created. Continue to share this good news wherever you go. Amen. Let's just stand as we get ready to receive our next speaker. I just want to pray. Amen. Lord, we thank you again for this time that we've spent around your word. Thank you that God, you've spoken to us and you have encouraged us, Father. You've challenged us to go out and share this good news. We are in a time and in a season where, God, it will get difficult. But at this time, Father, where we're living in this country, we can go out and share the good news freely. So pray that you'll impart it on everyone's heart right here today, that they exist for one reason only, and that is to share you. All the other things you will add unto us if we seek you first. So, Lord, I pray a blessing over us. Guide us, instruct us, Father, lead us in the ways of righteousness for your name's sake. So we honor you today. May your name be glorified today. We lift you up, Father, as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And if there's anybody here today that doesn't know you, I pray they'll come into the understanding that you love them, you died for them, and you rose again for them. Even before we celebrate Easter next week, we celebrate Easter every day of our lives in the kingdom of God. God, your kingdom is forcefully advancing. We celebrate your death and your resurrection every day that we live. But I pray anybody here today, Father, will know your peace, will know your joy, will ask questions before they leave here today, that will come into the understanding that, God, they want to know more about you. They want to join this great family of God. So I pray a blessing over them right now. So, Father, have your way. May your name be glorified. We love you, we honor you, and we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.